Good morning. Have you ever noticed when you buy a car, everyone seems to be driving your model car? Now, before you purchased that car, it seemed like you had just seen a few of them around. But after you purchase it, you see them everywhere. I think in one area or another, that has happened to everyone. You start seeing what has become familiar to you. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says, "Unless you're born of spirit and water, you will not see the kingdom of God." I'll weave that oddity into this devotion later. I believe the topic this morning is one that people feel quite passionate about. I have heard leaders say, "The reason your child died is because you didn't have enough faith." I have heard leaders say, "If we can just get enough people to pray, you know, it's like God's up there with a clicker counting how many people have to pray before his heart is moved and answer our prayer." I think that's a terrible attempt to assassinate the character of God. The excuses why prayer isn't answered, which in itself is not correct, but has often been attributed to the one under the burden of that concern. "Well, there must be secret sin, or they must not be walking in the light." Then to confirm that their perspective is correct, they are happy to misquote God's word to affirm their insight. I'm glad Matthew pins this section. It helps us to clarify what prayer Jesus desires that we pray. A prayer to celebrate how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. How glorious is His name. I wonder, did Jesus remember when Isaiah appeared before Him and the seraphs calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? I'm glad Jesus emphasizes this concept of God's will. Now, if I understand the scripture correctly, it seems as if it is possible that there are times that God is willing to adjust what he's going to do. If you're familiar with the story of Moses, and I also believe that there are times that God regrets what he has done. If you're familiar with the story of Noah, but I think for us to settle in and realize that there are those who pray for a personal image or a personal gain reason. Jesus encourages them and us to find a secret or a private place of prayer. It seems that would free us from any desire of personal gain or personal advantage connected with our prayer life. But the words that I want to focus on are these: "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I can say that there are times that I've prayed and the thing that I prayed for happens. And there are times I pray and it seems like the exact opposite happens. At the beginning of this post, I talked about the human experience of seeing the familiar. Is prayer conditioning us to see and look for the kingdom of God? I believe that is the biggest and most consistent benefit of prayer. It is to help us to focus on pursuing God's will. Sometimes it's in our favor, and sometimes we're not aware that it's in our favor. Remember, Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." You see, prayer helps us to get on the same page with God. How? We're praying, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth, in my life, in this particular concern, as it is in heaven." It seems that we always have enough energy to worry. Why don't we reclassify some of that energy to push ourselves through prayer into the Father's presence, and then we can watch worry melt away. Thought for the day: if our fathers, being evil, know how to give good things, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit? Yay, God.